The new NATO Secretary General visited Ukraine yesterday. That's his first official trip since taking office. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, what do you expect to come out of that visit?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv here. And we had, I slept through it last night, but there was a drone, a swarm of Russian drones that surrounded the city last night. I was sound asleep. I heard nothing, but it was the air defense seemed to work pretty well. And yes, indeed, the new Secretary General of NATO, former Prime Minister of the Netherlands, is here today. And you know, it's the message. It is sort of the message that we hear from European leaders that Ukraine needs the permission to strike back. Is the continued refrain to hit the places, the Russian bases from which Russia attacks Ukraine all the time. And I, you know, there is, you could say, even the, well, I mean, as I mentioned to you yesterday, you know, we had the Warsaw Security Forum this week, and there are, you know, some voices that are more urgent and other voices that, you know, are, you know, maybe trying to pretend that the problem is not so bad, or they say it's not so bad. But certainly from the NATO Secretary General, you know, strong, decisive support for Ukraine to have a quick a victory. And as we look at the discourse on Ukraine in the United States, you know, from my perspective as an American here, as I stand overlooking the Dnieper River here in Kyiv, it's really hard for me, I mean, to process what's happening in the U.S. On the one hand, there's almost like everyone had the same exact message in the world of or those among those who support Donald Trump. People were tweeting today, including Trump, including Glenn Beck, a former colleague of mine from my days at Fox News, and many others are tweeting about, you know, $60 billion or $200 billion going to Ukraine. They all have different figures. And then they say, but no support for the victims of the hurricane in southeastern United States. And so I see this refrain being pushed all over on X, and you know, and it's not accurate. I mean, most of that, as we've said so many times, most of those funds allocated or approved by Congress for, you know, allegedly to help Ukraine go to American defense contractors to buy, you know, buy new weapons for the U.S. And no one has done a proper study of this, but you have to really, you know, I mean, if there was no war. If Russia had not launched this war on Ukraine, America is always buying new weapons. And so, you know, the question I have is, you know, how much is the spending actually increased versus what it would have been if there was no full-scale war here? Because America's, you know, we're always innovating and producing new weapons, and no one has factored that into it. Ukraine sort of gets the blame for anything the Pentagon wants to buy now. They can blame it on Ukraine. And so Ukraine kind of gets, you know, sort of slapped around not only by Russian missiles, but also by, you know, sort of rhetoric, political rhetoric in America. And on the other hand, then you have Vice President Harris. She appeared in Wisconsin with Liz Cheney, actually, daughter of the former Vice President Cheney. And, you know, Kamala Harris said, you know, contrary to Trump, you know, she said Trump would give Ukraine away to Vladimir Putin. And so she's being clear about that. But still, no one has asked Vice President Harris if she will carry on the policy of Joe Biden, which is to restrict Ukraine from hitting back. And, you know, from all the conversations I've had here in Kyiv, especially this week, you know, if that doesn't change, this winter is going to be extremely terrible. I mean, the Russians, they know where to hit to hurt the infrastructure. And yet another winter of those types of attacks is going to be absolutely terrible for Ukraine. And there's no one, it seems, who's serious in Washington, in power, who's really addressing this, and the media is not pushing these questions.
And yes, we should point out that whatever problems FEMA has getting to all the victims of the terrible hurricane, it has nothing to do with the lack of funds. On your point there about the attention given to Ukraine or not given to Ukraine, this email, hello, Bob. I listen every weekday and love hearing Joseph Lindsley's report. I'm appalled by how little time is currently being given to the Ukrainian situation on network TV news these days. Well, some of that, and I'm sure you agree, Joe, is because we're focused on the Middle East right now, aren't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the media certainly is myopic. But, you know, for those, everyone, you know, I think in Ukraine and some, you know, a lot of people in Israel and in the Middle East, You know, it's plain. Russia and Tehran are not hiding, you know, the fact that they work together. And as I mentioned the other day, you know, the IDF in Israel, the special forces, uncovered, you know, a stockpile of Russian weapons in Lebanon. And, you know, I mean, Russia has, you know, met Putin and the Kremlin. They've invited Hamas to meet in the Kremlin. I mean, they're so obviously working together. But somehow, both in our media and politics, that gets ignored. And so, you know, and even there's so many strange things that are missed. For example, a few days ago, former President Trump, and by the way, a lot of people write in. I know they text. Sometimes I say President Trump, because we're live on radio. I always mean to say former president, but that is the standard style, is to give the honorific to anyone who was president.
Right.
But former president. I'm just getting a lot of heat for that lately, Bob. But former President Trump, he tweeted a kind of a cryptic tweet. It was a prayer to the Archangel St. Michael. And that was all he tweeted, the whole prayer. It was the feast day of the Archangel St. Michael. And what's weird is, you know, just a few days before, he was castigating Ukraine. And, you know, the only city, as far as I know, in the world that is publicly devoted to the Archangel St. Michael is the city of Kyiv. As you walk around the city, there are banners actually saying that fact. And so, you know, so here Trump is making this appeal to St. Michael the Archangel against evil, the forces of evil, and yet at the same time ignoring the only country who actually is really devoted in public, even if at an official level. President Zelensky in 2021 added St. Michael to the seal of Ukraine, perhaps anticipating dark times ahead. And it's just amazing, even on that level. You know, you would think that the story of Ukraine would capture the imagination of so many Americans who, you know, say they love freedom and tradition and these values. And yet, you know, here they are on Twitter today or on X, you know, lying about the money, you know, saying more money is coming here than really is. And so that's, you know, it's really difficult. But I see in the face of this right now, you know, we've talked about those cultural forces, musicians, the soldier musicians who are traveling to America, and they're in the Southeast right now. They're in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so they're meeting with people, refugees from the flooding and from the hurricane. So on a very human level, there's great connections. And in fact, those musicians were at Emory University and the VA in Atlanta the other day. And so they're, you know, on a micro level, they're building these strong connections. And actually, they were at the Carter Center a few days ago. It was Jimmy Carter's 100th birthday. And so the Ukrainian soldiers, you know, who a few days ago sang to my grandmother on her birthday, they sang to Jimmy Carter. he couldn't listen live because he's 100 years old.
Yeah.
But you had these Ukrainian soldiers singing to him. So I think that's what Ukrainians' approach is now. You know, keep building all the connections they can despite the chaos and the noise at the high level of politics.
And, yeah, that was a wonderful moment with President Carter. And to listeners who sometimes send us emails or texts and they're upset with you and your frustration with our politics, all I want to say is, you know, Joseph Lindsley is living it every day in the middle of it, dodging missiles, bombs, and drones. So I think you can give him a little slack on that. And, you know,
thanks, Bob. And, you know, I remember I quit my job working for the chairman and founder of Fox News, the guy who got Reagan and Nixon and others elected, because I was so sick of that world and the lack of a desire to pursue the truth. And that's why I'm here in Ukraine every day.
And we'll hope you have a peaceful weekend. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob. Until Monday.